You're listening to the Everything is Real radio program on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra and streaming live on WGXC.org. Thank you. soaring on its metal wings. Nobody passes us in the deep quiet of the dark sky. Nobody sees us alone out here among the stars. In these metal ways, in these metal days.
Welcome back, good listeners. I'm Sam, and we're all here together on the Everything is Real radio program. That was a classic one from Brian Eno called No One Receiving from his LP Before and After Science. Yeah, no one's receiving any stimulus help from our lame politicians in one of the most dire hours of need in this country. Man, this is so lame. I don't know about you folks. I hope you're doing okay somehow. But I don't know. I think in any other country, you'd see massive amounts of people out protesting about this issue. Winter is here, and we need help like yesterday. Anyway, yeah, no one's receiving all right. Before that, we heard Harold Budd and Brian Eno with Steal Away from Ambient 2, The Plateau of Mirror. Just a little tribute to Harold Budd there, a great ambient chill-out pioneer who died last week. Maybe we'll hear some more from him later in this hour. Before that, we heard a great drone piece by Pine Smoke Lodge, untitled from their 2009 release called Eta Carinae. And we began this hour with pianist Clara Cormendi interpreting Satie's Fourth Nausienne. So, speaking of no one receiving any stimulus help for many months, and the horrific economic mess we are facing, I caught an interesting interview posted this past week on the Zero Hour on YouTube. Host RJ Eskow was speaking with economist Len Paramore. Eskow is Senior Advisor for Health and Economic Justice at Social Security Works, and Len Paramore is Senior Research Analyst at the Institute for New Economic Thinking, and she's also a contributing writer for Reuters, Al Jazeera, Salon, and many others. Ms. Paramore published an article on November 25th called "The Gospel of Capitalism is the Biggest Religion of All." This article is a review of a new book by Eugene McCarer, a professor of humanities at Villanova, and his book is called "The Enchantments of Mammon: How Capitalism Became the Religion of Modernity." Okay, so Eskow is speaking with Paramore about her article and about this concept of capitalism being our planet's number one religion. I've excerpted segments of Ms. Paramore from their conversation for the sake of brevity here. It's really interesting, especially if you're someone like me who's trying to figure out why most of us seem to never get ahead. Maybe it's this whole system itself that needs to be questioned a lot more. Anyway, it's 15 minutes here. Check it out. Economist Len Paramore, and then we'll get back to some music here on Everything is Real Radio, y'all.
A lot of us grew up thinking that we were living in a secular age. The story that we were often given in school is that we left the Middle Ages, the Reformation happened, the Enlightenment happened, we had the rise of capitalism, and human beings really, in the West in particular, really shifted to a secular mindset and sort of gave up the devotion to the invisible realm. We gave up our sort of totems and taboos, as Sigmund Freud would have put it, and now we're sort of getting down to the business and rationality. But there are others who have observed, people like Max Weber and others, that actually capitalism has religious elements. You can think of money as the god, or the god Mammon. This is the great spirit of capitalism. The relics are things like the iPhone, and it has a creed that if you sort of heed the gods of the market, you will achieve salvation. All your needs and wants will be met and your desires fulfilled, and you will be saved. Money will flow to perform miracles in your life. And when you think of it that way, you think of the language, whether it comes from sort of self-help, the self-help industry, magazine advertisements, entertainment, the language and mentality that we're steeped in every day, you begin to pick up these signs of capitalism really as the religious sort of system that we live within. And a lot of us are waking up to the fact that this religion has not saved us. In fact, it is actually, as you just mentioned, demanding that we die for it. I was just reading a statistic by the National Nurses United, one of the largest nurses unions in the country, and they gave a number as of September 28th, it's undoubtedly higher now, that 1,700 healthcare workers in the United States had died of COVID through avoidable causes. They lacked PPE. You know, these were totally avoidable and unnecessary deaths, as they point out. And it's hard to collect statistics. I would suspect that the number is even higher than what they've been able to ascertain. And of course, this doesn't even cover for all the frontline workers who are not healthcare workers. But there have been politicians, as I'm sure you've heard, who have come right out and said, look, people have to die to keep the economy going. So this God is a very a very potent and not a particularly empathetic God, and not a particularly humane one. One thing that's common to religions is they have origin myths. Origin stories, you know,
right.
You don't call it a myth if it's your religion, but Adam Smith had one too. He said that human beings, our original impulse as humans was to, as he put it, truck and barter.
Right.
That was
right.
Our original instinct. Now, where did he get that? Well, pardon the phrase, he pulled it right out of his behind. It was,
right.
It was just something he made up. It sounded, you know, plausible. And he was being an armchair anthropologist, and he just threw it out there. And people took that, you know, since we're talking in religious language, they took that as the gospel. And Adam Smith's ideas, which were very much about storytelling and analogies and colorful language to describe how he thought the economy might function. He was writing and living in a time where people were trying to suss out rules about how bodies in motion worked, you know, this
right.
was the great age of sort of figuring out the system.
And in a very mechanical way, in a Newtonian
mechanical way.
Yeah.
And the human beings must be driven by X. Well, this is a myth about human beings, and it's not really the way we work, but the religion of capitalism insists that it is true. This is a sacred idea that competition is ultimately for the best of society. That, you know, the market will decide what is best, not governments, not we the people, etc. And so I think one of the things that Eugene Makar, who wrote this book, The Enchantments of Mammon, really susses out in a very nuanced way is how our country is built on these sort of opposing ideas. You know, on the one hand, we have this idea of competition, and then we have another religious idea about brotherhood, which is also
right.
baked into the, you know, the sacred text of our nation. And these two things are kind of ill-fitting, and trying to make them work together is something I think we're still struggling with right now. We're struggling with it in the COVID crisis. How do we get our economy working while still caring about our neighbor? I'm not sure we have figured that out.
Capitalism and the economics profession after the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, everything we believed about the self-correcting of the market and financial deregulation and how that was going to blah, blah, blah. No, it crashed. But let's keep going because we still believe in it. And that, to me, is, in fact, a kind of fundamentalist religious viewpoint, right?
Yes, and I think fundamentalist is a good word to use because you begin to see how people who don't buy into that fundamentalist line, which is, by the way, as you just pointed out, it's been proven. There are mountains of evidence, the financial crisis being a giant mountain of evidence that it isn't true, that the central principles of neoclassical economics, for example, do not model reality effectively. They don't have predictive properties. It's not a science the way we would, I think you and I and anybody else would define a science. But if you don't believe, you're a heretic. And people who are heretics, for example, if you might call yourself a democratic socialist, which is
right.
That word takes on a very devilish kind of quality. It's a scary word. It's a sinful word. You've sinned against the national creed, and you must be punished. You're a very dangerous element. And so I think that that's another way that we can think about the capitalistic mindset as being a religious mindset.
And if you're an economist who deviates from the creed, if you're MMT or a Marxist economist or other types, what are you called? You're called a heterodox economist. And what's the opposite of heterodox? Orthodox.
That's exactly right. And heterodox always to me sounds like, it really does. It sounds like a heretic. It almost sounds like you have some sort of horrible disease. You know, it's not a nice, pretty, happy word. Yes, you're marginalized, not to mention, you know, you don't get tenure and you don't get published and you
right.
really don't get invited to be part of the church. You're excommunicated, in fact. and the profession operates this way and pronounces truths, even though Greenspan himself testified in front of Congress that what he understood about the way the economy functioned was not correct. Well, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking about competition, how it's ingrained to us so early on in school. I mean, and there are these religious elements. I mean, look at the sort of high school football team, right? I mean, there are places where you know, the church and the football team are the two big, you know, kind of social cohesion forces in the community. And it's all about competition. Now, there, children play cooperatively when they're sort of naturally amongst themselves. You know, they can play cooperative games. They can run just for the joy of running. They don't have to beat the person next to them and win the ribbon. But we're inculcated very early that we are here to compete. And that has a negative consequences. It has negative consequences for cooperation, and it actually doesn't work very well in many workplaces where we actually have to work as a team, et cetera. I mean, again, you have those sort of these competing elements. But I think, you know, one thing that that Ingmar Macara really gets at in his book, and that I think is so intriguing, is if capitalism is a religion, it's really a sign that we may, as human beings, have, you know, maybe you don't have to call it theological, but we have yearnings to be connected to something greater than our individual selves, greater than our individual bank account. Some people would think of that as spiritual longings. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual, I don't think. You know, the poet William Wordsworth talked about communing with nature as kind of a reverent experience. I think we have longings and motivations far outside what the capitalist system or religion has assigned to us. And I think that is something that you know, we've kind of lost sight of, and it's the kind of thing that would help us during a crisis like the one that we are now experiencing, that kind of reverence for life. Macara and others are fond of quoting the 19th century critic John Ruskin, who very famously said, "There is no wealth but life." That's the primary wealth that we have. If we think of capitalism as a religion, we may also think of it as a false religion. And how do we know a religion is false? Well, if it's not delivering on its promises for salvation, its promises for a better life, its promises to bring us dignity and happiness. And for most of us, capitalism has not delivered those promises. And it has reached a point, you know, as we're discussing, that it's actually demanding that we die for it, that we sacrifice each other, that we sacrifice not only each other, but the best of our community, our healthcare workers, our teachers, the people whose influence and guidance you know, is just part of the marrow of our human societies, and we're supposed to throw them into the fire and not worry about it. And I think there are more and more people beginning to feel very uncomfortable with this state of affairs. And I think if we look at capitalism as a false religion, we can then begin to think about other systems. They don't necessarily have to be theological. But I think, again, Macara's point is that we may have these, you know, yearnings and longings that we don't need to sort of poo-poo and think, well, we live in a secular, you know, sort of framework and, you know, never mind anything that has to do with enchantment. Well, no, maybe it's okay to talk about enchantment. Maybe the religious longing could be channeled into a kind of human communion, or again, a reverence for nature that would probably help us with the environmental crisis if we approached nature with more of a sense of reverence and the preciousness of life. So, you know, I think that you're right. It's a crisis of faith, and also a beginning to question what else is out there, and maybe those things that sounded so heretical. A lot of young people, for example, are hearing the word socialism, and they're not thinking of people with horns sticking out of their head. They're thinking, okay, this is a system that has somewhat different values, that has different hierarchies, that has different relationships between people and each other and people and the natural world. And, you know, it's okay to think that way. You're not going to suddenly be struck by lightning and vanish from the face of the earth. I think another thing that religions, that capitalism in particular as a religion offers, that not every religion offers or promises, it really promises that we can become gods ourselves. And look at some of the great capitalists of our era, a person like Jeff Bezos, for example. There was this fantastic cover story on him in The Atlantic of several months ago. It was before the COVID crisis. But he gave the most grandiose pronouncements about where human life was going. And basically, he had conceded that, look, we're going to destroy the planet. Nothing you can do about it. So let's just blast ourselves in outer space. You know, we'll have these great oscillating cylindrical tubes that we'll live in and, you know, temperature regulated. It'll be great. I'm not sure who's going to make the laws, probably Bezos himself and some other Silicon Valley tycoons. But you really got the feeling that this is a death cult. This is, we've given up the idea of the wealth of life and just, you know, screw it. We'll have some kind of, dispirited life in the sky and leave Earth behind. And so I think when we become that, when capitalism promises that we'll become gods, we're really becoming monsters. That's a monstrous vision. I have to say, my skeptical voice says those of us that may think that we're moving into a better era now that we have a Biden administration coming, these same Silicon Valley tycoons, et cetera, I mean, are they really going to be reined in? Are they really going to be regulated? Are businesses really going to be held accountable? What is the pharmaceutical industry going to get up to with its reputation sort of, you know, glittering and jazzy? Remember, this is the industry that brought us the opioid crisis. So I would say be very watchful, because this administration, I think, is enchanted by mammon in the same way the Obama administration was. I mean, I think it's preferable to what we could have had, but this administration is not thinking outside the temple of mammon, I don't think.
Bye. what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want. This is what you get. This is what you want.
Protected. they got me down. I had to regain my confidence, so I got into camouflage. The girls, they love to see you shoot.
I love a man in uniform. I love a man in uniform. I love a man in uniform. I love a man in uniform.
I need an order.
Shoot, shoot.
Gang of Four songs speaking about capitalism. That was I Love a Man in a Uniform, and before that we heard Paralyzed, and we heard Bad Life by Public Image Limited from their LP This Is What You Want, This Is What You Get. I know, it's too heavy thinking about the pervasiveness of capitalism. It's just almost ridiculous. I don't know. I actually think capitalism itself is a giant Ponzi scheme. It seems like we could come up with something more humane and equitable, don't you think? Anyway, let's chill out now with some more Harold Budd music, and then I'll leave you with What Are You Doing on New Year's Eve by Dick Haymes with Les Paul. Wow, that song takes on some new meaning now. Be safe, y'all. Stay in, stay cozy, help those in need. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you on the second Sunday in 2021. Goodbye, 2020. Contact me, Sam, through the station at info@wgxc.org. I'd love to hear from you. Peace.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Ah, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve. Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the new year, New Year's Eve. Maybe I'm crazy to suppose I'd ever be the one you chose out of a thousand invitations you'll receive. Ah, but in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve. Thank you. But in case I stand one little chance, here comes the jackpot question in advance. What are you doing, New Year?